Why have a marriage? In our thought for today, we ask this provocative question. Why have a marriage? Why should anyone ever get married? Well, there's no reason. There's no reason why anyone should ever get married, except when a person has a perfect idea. He is married with that idea, and he manifests that idea, and he brings forth that idea. Marriage is when we are ready to be fully associated with an idea. Now, the idea may be a person, called a wife or a husband. The idea may be good unlimited. It may be the fulfillment of our dreams. Marriage, as we have always thought about it, is between a man and a woman to have children. And they get married to have a form of family and be perfect in the eyes of the community and the law. But that's just one definition for the word marriage. If we were to look in the dictionary and look up the word marriage, it would mean the uniting of ideas together, the uniting of things that have common interest, the uniting of a concept to accomplish a given end. Now, that seems a very interesting way to look at it, a very noble way to look at it, but think about it also. If two people get married to form a family, they have united interests. They have similar patterns for themselves. Well, let's just slide into the second gear here of why marriages don't seem to work. And marriages don't seem to work because the people change their interests. They change their patterns. They change their desired experiences of being together. And when they change these desired experiences, then they're not really having any reason to remain as a partner, as an organization, as a family. If a family has two diverse points of view, the woman wants to go and be a fine bridge player, and the man wants to go and be a fine golfer, you say, well, they can each go their own way and have their own thing. Yes, that's true. But why should they have a marriage in the first place? Well, they have a marriage because they like each other, because they're sexually attracted to each other, because they want to have children. Well, many people get married and want to have children. Having children is not a reason for getting married. The reason for getting married is because you have similar interests. When one company marries another company, they have similar interests. The companies are interested in accomplishing a given end, and so they form a marriage. They form a partnership. They form a corporation. They form a company. These are all marriages. Now, when the company no longer finds it valuable to have such diversity as the marriage seemed to indicate in the beginning, then they sell off that portion of the company that no longer is beneficial. And it is bought by a company that feels it is a desirable thing for them. So you might call that the second marriage. But the first marriage was when the man or woman created an idea and brought that idea forth into life. They were married to their work. They were married to their dream. They were married to their ideal. And so long as we're married to our dream, our ideal, our work, it's a lovely thing. When we no longer have an interest in that ideal or that work, we just smoothly move away from it into other activities. And we don't think that it's a divorce. We don't think it's a terrible, utterly unacceptable condition. We just think it's a time for a change. So when marriage is done, if you will, intellectually or academically, and it is also disbanded intellectually or academically, then a beautiful thing comes out of them. The laws back in the 50s, I believe it was the 60s, changed. The law used to say that unless there were irreconcilable differences between a man and a woman, they could not get divorced. Well, since when does the law tell a person that they are no longer interested in each other, that they don't want to have a marriage? And so the law changed. It used to say that one of the parties had to say, "I hate you, I cannot stand you, I do not want to be in your world anymore, I'd like to shoot you," you know. The law is very strange. And then it changed. And now it says, if the two parties, or if any one member of the two parties doesn't want to be together, they may separate. And they don't have to give any reason. They don't have to publicly denounce the other person as being an irascible rascal that they would not want to live with any longer, because they were not stupid when they first got married and found this corporation. They were not stupid when they first joined together as man and wife, because they loved each other, because they enjoyed each other's company. But later they had their business interests change, they had their social interests change, and so they wanted to change their relationship. And now the law says if either or says they want to separate, they may do it. So two people are together, and one or the other holds the other in bondage, either in threats or in overwhelming power or superiority. You do what I say, and you do this, and you do that, and you do the other thing. And the other person says, I don't want to do that. I want to, you know, live my life as I see fit. No, no, you're my wife, you're my husband, you've got to do these things, you've got to do those things, because that's what marriage means, you know. Well, hey, I thought we were married because we loved each other and enjoyed each other's company and were thrilled with the activities that we did together. Well, that's all changed now, but the thing is, you're still my wife, you're still my husband, you got to do exactly as I tell you to do. And so they say, I don't think so. I don't think so. This marriage now is no longer valid for me. So I'm going to go and invalidate it. And I'll go down, stick my quarter in the machine and say, invalidate this marriage. And the machine says, it is done. You are recorded as being invalidated. But you see, when you have property, when you have money, when you have children, when you have responsibilities like that, the court has to take another action. They have to say, who's going to take care of the children? The court? The state? The father? The mother? Who's going to pay for their upkeep? Who has the income to pay for it? So we want to take care of the children. And this wife or this husband has lived in this marriage for 20 years now, and this marriage has amassed the fortune of $3 billion. So now, what do we do with the money? Well, 50-50. Because it was necessary for each of them to be together to have this. Well, I did all the work, says one. And that's not the point. You had a marriage. You had a corporation in which all of your assets were invested mutually. And so it's equal. So that's why in the United States, it's equal, at least split between one and the other. Everything that was gained after the marriage, if there was any money before the marriage and it can be proven, then it is not part of the marriage certificate. But this is understandable. This is what the marriage is all about. The marriage is a corporation activity of mutual interest. If you marry and you have children and you have family, and it's just a corporation. It's just, if you love each other, hey, super. If you don't love each other, hey, super. You still want to live together and you don't love each other? Super. If it's just convenience, super. The law, it does not judge you as to what you should do. It only says there should be fairness in this as far as whatever was gained mutually. So you're merely dealing with a corporate action. You're dealing with a logical community social action. Why have a marriage? It's a convenience. It's a convenience so that two people can equally share in the benefits and the responsibilities of any activity. And this is why people who live together and who do not have a marriage are asking for trouble. Because though they may love to live together, and though they may love to have their separate entities, if they live together for 7 years, they are considered married by the law. And so anything that they have mutually gained during that time is equally split between the two of them should they ever part company. And this has been proven by law many times. Men who have lived together, or women who have lived together, as well as men and women who have lived together, who separated after 7 years, they have been able to go to the court and say, hey, that's half mine. And the court says, you're right. So you see, it's not a matter of the civil bond of marriage by words, but it's a corporate action. And this corporate action, if we can always consider marriage as a corporate action, rather than something that's bound by emotions and by sentiment and so forth, then you have a real marriage. But when you have a marriage made in heaven, if we will, that's when two hearts are joined together and wanted to be together. And that's lovely. And when you have such a marriage, it is never disbanded, regardless of whether the two people move apart from each other and leave each other. This will always be the marriage, because the marriage that was made divinely can never be broken. It is not a legal activity. But the marriages that are made in the court, in the church, in the community, are always expendable. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. Why have a marriage? For whatever convenience it brings to you. Go for it. I love you.